Parliament Gate House, where Krishna is describing what he feels towards his devotees. Chapter 9, by the way, is called Most Confidential Knowledge. There's confidential knowledge, more confidential knowledge, and most confidential knowledge.
You're a nice guy, sir.
What's confidential knowledge? It's something within. Yeah, that's one meaning of confidential. That's one kind of confidential. There's another kind of confidential. That's disclosed in Bhagavad Gita and it still remains confidential. It's an open secret. Chapter 2. Yeah, that's confidential. More confidential is distinguishing the soul from the Supreme Soul. And most confidential is the intimacy of loving dealings between the Supreme Soul and the individual soul. Emotional service is the most confidential knowledge. I already have one. Give that one to somebody else. Give somebody else. Right over here. Right over here. Give to him. They don't call him a Jarshi for nothing. And then there's the most confidential amongst the most confidential knowledge. In other words, devotional service is the means of understanding Krishna. And then there are passages in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says what he feels when he sees his devotee engaging in devotional service. What he feels, what he does. Like, you know, the Krishna's inner life. That's really confidential. It was just before I came here, Saturday night, I was at the 26th Second Avenue. There's a program there several times a week, and the one I went to was a Saturday night. And it was a packed house. It was 50, 60 people there packed in on a Saturday night. It was really nice. And towards the end, someone asked this question, which I'm now answering. Can you share with us some of the places in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna describes his feelings towards his devotees? That's what I'm doing. And one of those verses, there's a number of them, but one of them is chapter 9. Having no other object. Chintayata, concentrating, Mam, on me. Yay, those who, Jana, persons, are you Pasate, properly worship, Tisham, of them, Nitya, always. Of the Yuktana, fixed in devotion. Yoga, requirements. Kshemam, protection. Bahami, carry. Aham, I. This is a verse where Krishna is saying what he feels when he sees the devotion in his devotee who is constantly serving him with love. What Krishna feels and what he does. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One who is unable to live for even a moment without Krishna consciousness cannot but think of Krishna 24 hours a day, being engaged in devotional service by hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, worshipping, serving lotus feet of the Lord, rendering other services, cultivating friendship, and surrendering fully to the Lord. Such activities are all auspicious and full of spiritual potencies, which make the devotee perfect in self-realization, so that his only desire is to achieve the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee undoubtedly approaches the Lord without difficulty. This is called yoga. By the mercy of the Lord, such a devotee never comes back to this material condition of life. Kshema, spelled K, as with a dot under it, E-M-A, Kshema, refers to the merciful protection of the Lord. The Lord helps the devotee to achieve Krishna consciousness by yoga. And when he becomes fully Krishna conscious, the Lord protects him from falling down to a miserable condition of life. So there's two parts to this. There's, well, Prabhupada begins the translation as but. The but is a contrast. So chapter 9 is describing pure devotional service, because devotional service is pure. There is such a thing as mixed, where the motivation is so much for Krishna, so much for me, so much for Krishna, so much for me. I call that the two-pocket program. So much for Krishna, so much for me. So much for Krishna, so much for me, Krishna, Krishna, me. And unlike devotional service, it's the one-pocket program. Everything for Krishna. The previous verse is describing those that in that mixed position, and it's the Ferris wheel. When they have thus enjoyed vast heavenly sense pleasure and the results of their pious activities, when they're exhausted, they return again to this mortal planet. Shini Punya Marcha Lokam Shanti. Thus, those who seek sense enjoyment by adhering to the principle of the three Vedas achieve only. Repeated driven death. But, so it's a lesson. Here's a Sanskrit little instruction for you. good definition is both inclusive and exclusive. Example, Rupa Goswami. You studying Nectar Devotion? You've heard of the book Nectar Devotion? Yes. Have you studied Nectar Devotion? Little bit. There's one verse in the beginning of Nectar Devotion that expresses the absence of the entire Nectar Devotion. One verse. It's called the Paribhasya Sutra of Nectar Devotion, as Srimad Bhagavatam has it, Tuan, and so forth. The first verse of Brahma Samhita, according to Jiva Goswami, is the Paribhasya. Bhasya means commentary. Sutra. Very little condensed statement, that's the essence of the whole literature. So that statement in Nectar of Devotion, you know the verse. Anyabhilashasyam jnana karma janavratam anukulena krishna nushilanam bhaktir uttama. You've heard the verse, right? So the first verse, first half, is, this is the definition of bhakti. The first half is what bhakti isn't. It's not jnana and karma. In fact, those are shunya, zippo, zero, shunya, nothing. Devoid of hankering for fruitive activities and mental speculation. Dump that. Devotional service is not that. So that's what it isn't. What is it? It's anupodyena krishna nushimana bhaktir uttama. Bhakti is uttama bhakti. Bhakti is pure. And bhakti is cultivation of those activities that are pleasing to Krishna. That's what bhakti is. And it's not for the purpose of jnana or karma, advancing and fruitive activities, or mental speculation. In chapter 9, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna announces at the very beginning of the chapter, I'm going to say something now that's more confidential than anything else. And he's defining devotional service. Most confidential knowledge. Rajavidya, Rajaguru, Pavitram, Idam Uttamam, Pratyaksha Abhagamam Dharmyam, Susukham. Not only Sukham, but Susukham. Very, very pleasing. Sukha means happy. Susukham. It makes the soul very happy, most happy. Abhyayam, and it's imperishable. It's not happiness that comes and it goes. That happiness is in this world and the next. Like we were discussing this morning, Pidambi's, you know, Rajarshi's question about imperishable happiness. So, to describe the most confidential knowledge, Krishna is doing this. This is what it isn't. And this is what it is. It's not that kind. It's Ananya Chintayan Brahma. Ananya, or Anya means other, and Ananya means no other. Put the prefix A in front of something and it's negative. There's nothing else but Ananya. Chintayanto maam. Chinta is consciousness. With one whose consciousness is fixed on me alone. Ananya, having no other object. Chintayanta, concentrating your consciousness on Krishna, that is unalloyed devotee. Yejana paryupasate, upasate. Upasana is the section of the Vedas that deals with worship. Yes? There's the Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, and Upasana Kanda portion of the Vedas. You've heard that one before. Rituals, speculative knowledge, and then the Upasana section of the Vedas. So they do their Upasana exclusively unto Krishna. Ananyas Chintayatamam Ye Jana, Jana means like people in general, Ye Jana Pariupasate. They're concentrating completely on me. Their worship is for me only. No rock stars, no politicians, no video games, you know, no celebrities other than one. Krishna. I don't know what sports are popular. Cricket? Is that popular? Cricket player? I was told that in India there are more statues of whatever this guy's cricket player famous in India than Gandhi. He's a really famous guy. In New York, every year, around the month of August, they have the India Independence Day Parade. They had found how to get the best attendance at the India Independence Day Parade. It's even one of two choices. They have in on one of the floats some Bollywood stars, and everybody comes. Or a famous, you know, some other celebrity, world interest. This is according to Bhagavad Gita, worship in the mode of passion. You worship a man. Worship of the ghosts and spirits, that's tamagun. Worship of a man, that's passion. The worship of the demigod, that's goodness. So they know how to get people going. They bring out the mode of passion. So when the person passes by in the parade, like they have a float and they wave and everyone goes, because a big roar. We're down in the park setting up our prasadam booth. In the parade, you know, roar, there goes the movie star. And then when they begin, they get off the float, and they hang around for a while, so people go, yay, and then they go to the stage, and everyone leaves the prasadam stall, they go to the stage. And the I don't know what they do, they wiggle or something. And when they get off the stage, the party's over. Everyone goes home. That's the idea of fantasy. So that's not gauge enough for you have to pay. Krishna is speaking of worship goes to him alone. To such person, Kesham, it's a pronoun or a possessive pronoun. Unto that person who is like that, here's what Krishna does. Kesham Nitya Vyuktanam, unto those who are always Nitya Yuktanam, engaged in worshipping me, concentrating their consciousness upon me, I feel so obliged to them that whatever it is that they have, I preserve. Whatever it is that they lack, I provide. And it's very personal. It's not the way devotional service works is it's directly Krishna and Krishna's internal potency. If something happens in the life of a devotee, we say Krishna's mercy. Now we shouldn't confuse Krishna's mercy with negligence. By that I mean once something really dumb happened in a temple, like they forgot to do something that's important and they got penalized by the local government or something like that. And one devotee said, Krishna's mercy. And Prabhupada said, don't blame your nonsense on Krishna. Whoops. So our stupidity is not Krishna's mercy. Our stupidity is our stupidity. But when we're engaged in devotional service, please understand what this means. This means that we say, you know, in our Prema's Bhakti prayers, Bhakti Devi ki jai. So, who is Bhakti Devi? Mati Devi is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. And we can say, it's by the mercy of Radharani that we're engaged in devotional service. Or we can say, it's by the mercy of Bhakti Devi, but Bhakti Devi is an expansion of Radharani. By the mercy of Radharani, we have access to serving Krishna. And Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And who are we? We're this insignificant nobody. An irrelevant, contaminated, confused, bewildered little speck. Being engaged in Krishna's service. What's our eligibility? Somehow we receive some mercy. We're the recipients of some causeless mercy. That's how. No good reason, just causeless mercy. Because Srimati Radharani is very merciful. Here's a Vrindavan story. This is a nice one to remember on Radhastami. Radharani is very merciful. One day she was walking along a path with her gopi friends, and she saw some boys off in the field, and they were huddled around, and she was wondering what they were doing. So she left the path and went off into the field to see what they were doing. And there was a fox in a hole, and they were throwing sticks and throwing stones and taunting the fox, but they thought they got the fox cornered. And Radharani started to cry, and she asked the boys to leave and invited the fox to come out of the hole. You know, most people are afraid of foxes and wild animals like that, but Radharani was feeling compassion for the poor fox. This was described by Rupa Goswami in one of his dramas, describing the compassionate nature of Srimati Radharani. So she's compassionate for foxes. She's compassionate for the devotees of the Lord. Us, to engage us in some devotional service. Here's a little Prabhupada story. Similar, it's very nice. As you may know from Prabhupada's life, at some point, not only when crossing in the Javadutta, he had heart attack. But he had another heart attack when he was in New York. And heart attacks are very serious. I mean, you die from heart attacks. Prabhupada didn't die. And doctors recommend that he go to a very peaceful situation where he can relax. It was summer. So with Prabhupada's permission, he was taken to a quiet summer cottage by the seashore. So then different devotees took opportunity to serve Prabhupada, cook for Prabhupada, and just be with Prabhupada. It was a very nice time for them. So one of the devotees was describing, Prabhupada was seated on a chair, like a lounge chair kind of thing, looking out over the sea. And there was a mat on the ground so that dust and sand and so forth wouldn't get on the where Prabhupada was. And there was a devotee by his side chanting. And as they were chanting, they noticed one of the little slimy creatures, like a slug. You know what that is, a slug? Was crawling along the mat. And it was crawling towards Prabhupada's foot. And the devotee was leaning over and ooh. And Prabhupada heard the sound and looked at what they were doing, and he looked down and gave his attention to the slug. And the devotee was going, ooh, yuck. And Prabhupada said, poor thing. Bad for him. And the devotee said, I was thinking, that's how Prabhupada regards us. Oh, the poor thing. Let me chant for them. Because they're in this covered condition. And that's how a devotee of the Lord, representing Srimati Radharani, sees the misfortune of our covered condition. whether it's in the body of a slug or the body of a human being that isn't so much better off than a slug because of the unregulated and unrestricted lives that we lead in Kali Yuga. So one who is engaged in devotional service, the point is, it's not the material energy anymore, it's the spiritual energy directly interacting into the lives of that living entity. That's devotional service, directly through the agency of the internal potency. So when the devotee sees, wow, I'm so unqualified to look at this mercy that I'm receiving, then a little light goes on, the gratitude light, that says, this person is very kind, or Srimati Radharani is very kind, or the representatives of Srimati Radharani, representatives of our specific succession, are very kind, just out of compassion. They're extending the opportunity to serve Krishna to me, and I'm unqualified. So one who sees like that and engages in what chapter 9 is discussing, the most confidential knowledge, the form of serving Krishna with undivided attention, Krishna sees that and he feels something. He feels gratitude towards such a devotee. So what does he do? He sees that whatever the devotee requires, they're supplied. And ultimately, what is it that we require? We require the door back to Godhead to be open. There's the little things, like, you know, are the necessities of life in our day-to-day requirements. Here's another little Prabhupada story about this. Prabhupada said when he was a householder, there was a drought. And because of the drought, there was very little production of grain. And because there was very little production of grain, there was a panic. The price of grain quadrupled. He said poor people died of starvation because they just couldn't afford a kilo of rice. It was more than what they made in a month to buy a kilo of rice. So they died of starvation. He was a follower of Bhaktisiddhanta, and so he thought, maybe the devotees are in difficulty. So he went to the temple and asked the devotees, are you in difficulty? Can I take care of some of your necessities? I'm a householder, I have some funds. And they said, no. Krishna is very kind. Krishna has supplied more than we can have, and we're preparing khichdi, we're distributing prasad to the poor people. So Prabhupada said, at that point I could understand. Yogakshema Mahamyama, what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, is he takes care of his devotee in terms of necessities and in terms of the ultimate necessity of opening the doorway and taking them back to Godhead. Krishna certainly has the capacity to do that, and he does so in the lives of those who are exclusively devoted to him. I want to refer to one other verse, but first I want to tell another story that Prabhupada spoke about this verse. In explaining this verse one time, I heard with these ears, Prabhupada was saying, there was a great acharya living in Jagannath Puri who was writing a commentary on Bhagavad Gita. He had an appropriate name for being a Bhagavad Gita commentator. His name was Arjunacharya. Living in Puri. And when he came to this verse, it disturbed his mind. It disturbed his mind because he felt, how is this? How can a devotee who wants to serve Krishna accept service from Krishna? Devotionally, it was disturbing. Because the verse says, Krishna gives to the devotee what the devotee requires. and he preserves what the devotee has. So it's accepting service from Krishna. This isn't right. His spiritual emotions were disturbed. So he took his writing instrument, which wasn't a pen, it was you scratch lines in a leaf and it makes a mark in the leaf. So he scratched the words out of his book, Vahamyama. The Vahamyama means, I personally carry Vahamyama. And he told his wife, I'm going to take care of my midday duties. I'm going to the sea to take my bath. So he left. And shortly after he left, two young boys came to the door, one very blackish in complexion, the other very whitish in complexion, like no Christian color. And they were very beautiful. And when they knocked on the door, his wife received them very nicely and said, oh, young boys, what is it that I can do for you? And she said, they said, your husband has sent us with some items for you to offer to the deity. Oh, very nice. Please come in. No. We're just delivering them. Let me see what you have. So she looked inside, and there was a bag, a container that had beautiful, elegant, fragrant fruits and vegetables and things she had never seen in the marketplace before. She said, where did you get these? Said, your husband gave them to us. He said to bring them to you. Well, he'll come back very shortly from taking care of his midday duties. Please come in, and I'm sure he'll like to thank you for the service. And they said, no. If he's coming back very soon, we're leaving right now. So why do you say that? Because he beat us. Very severely, he beat us. Said, no, my husband's a Brahmin. He would never beat you. He beat us. Look, and they lifted their shirts and showed these marks in their back. Very strong marks. We're leaving right now. And they left. And his wife is really bewildered. My husband beat these little boys. And I can't understand this. Then Arjunacharya came back. And his wife was waiting right at the door and said, did you beat some boys when you went to take your bath? What are you talking about? And she described the whole incident. And as she was describing, he asked, please describe what they looked like. And besides describing their color, she described their beautiful features and the garments that they wore. And he could understand immediately. It was Krishna and Balaram. Because Krishna and Balaram, these marks on their back, were showing that he had drawn the lines in the words Vahamyaham, because he didn't like the idea that Krishna personally comes to deliver the necessities for his devotee. But Krishna personally delivers the necessities for his devotee. Krishna personally delivers the necessities for his devotee. It's not the agency of Prakriti. There's a nice, very important verse in chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 5 of Bhagavad Gita, that says that the things are delivered, but the fruits of our activity are the product of Prakriti. It's not our work that produces fruits. I just had somebody ask me one of these questions in a question answer session, like online thing. Karmani vadikara se ma paleshu kadachana. Never, you're entitled to perform the fruits of you perform your activity, but never consider yourself to be the cause of the result of your activities. We always think that we're the cause of the result of our activities. I'm going to go do something. I'm going to go on sankirtan. I'm going to go cook the offering. I'm going to go worship the deity. I'm going to go whatever, you know, do something. We use language like that all the time, just conventionally. second chapter, Krishna says, no. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activity. That's chapter 2. If you don't get that lesson, how are you going to go to the rest of them? He says the same thing in chapter 5. The kartra from the karmani lokasya srijate prabhu. Never consider yourself the cause of action. Never consider yourself the cause of the results of action. And never consider yourself to be inducing others to act. That's like checkmate. You know, what's left? And Krishna says all this is being carried out by the mode of material nature. Prakriti delivers results. Prakriti delivers. We put the seed in the ground. I'm an agriculturalist. I put the seed in the ground and things grow. But it's prakriti that produces the things that grow. Where did I get the seed? Where did I get the ability to put the seed in the ground? Where did the ground come from? Where did the laws of nature come? Prakriti is, and Krishna's overseeing the whole thing. So we can be not Krishna conscious and think we're the cause of the results of things. Or we can be Krishna conscious and understand material nature is the cause of the results of things, and Krishna is behind things, and Krishna is behind material nature. So a pure devotee, or one who's cultivating pure devotional service, should understand that Krishna's, in your life, as one cultivating Krishna consciousness, Krishna's supplying necessity. We'll probably all go take a little prasadam after the program. Where did it come from? Where did the ability to walk across the floor and go and sit down and take prasadam come from? Where did anything come from? Krishna consciousness means to honor that from Krishna. And when you engage yourself in that way, Krishna sees that all necessities are there. And it's something that you need, I mean, literally need, Krishna will supply it. I know some devotees who are unconditional devotees, and they're very happy to serve Krishna under any condition. I know some other devotees that are conditional devotees that say, if you arrange for this, 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 and this, then I'll do my devotional service, and if any one of those elements are missing, see you later. Well, let me know when all those elements are there, and then I'll come and do my devotional service. The Prabhupada, for example, started the Hare Krishna movement with nothing but an instruction, and his faith in the instruction. And he carried out the instruction, and the Hare Krishna movement happened from nothing. From nothing. Could you imagine going to New York, where you don't have anybody to go visit, you don't have any money, you don't even have a phone, you don't have a phone number, you just go to New York, you get off the plane. I mean, that's what happened to Prabhupada. He said, when I walked off the gangplank from the Jalagutta into New York City, I didn't know whether to turn left or turn right. Imagine, you're 70 years old. You don't have any place to go. You don't have any money. You don't have anybody waiting for you with the receptive. Just, you have a mission. Carry out the mission. Give Shuddha Sattva knowledge to people in the mode of ignorance and in passion. That's your mission. Such a person is conducted by the internal potency, and everything of necessity was provided. In the early days of the Hare Krishna movement, Prabhupada engaged devotees in similar Mission Impossible. I'll narrate one story. There's many. So many. But a devotee from America whose initiated name became Guru Garanga was a law student at Yale University. He was a brilliant law student, and what normally takes 8 years, he did in four. He had his law degree, like, super fast. He was such a brilliant scholar, he got a special scholarship to do further study in Paris at the Sorbonne. Maybe you've heard of that university. It's one of the elite universities. A scholarship to do law, further law study at the Sorbonne. He's such a person that he learned to speak French, like, you know, crash course French and began speaking French. So then he described this in one of these, you know, Prabhupada appreciation gatherings, and I hadn't heard this story before. He was walking along the street, and he saw a devotee. His name was Jai Baladev from Montreal, French speaking. They speak French in Montreal. So he was in France, standing on a street corner with three Frenchmen badgering him. And you may not know what Frenchmen are like, but they're like, you know, really feisty. They like to argue. And there were three of them ganging up on this little skinny brahmachari, who's like, you know, kind of a fragile, gentle type of person. And so Guru Garanga immediately assessed, because he's got this, you know, lawyer acumen. He says, you know, he saw, here's this skinny guy standing there in a row being harassed by three Frenchmen. So he went up to listen to what they were talking about. And after they chewed him up and spit him out and walked away, he said, you know, who are you? You know, my name is Jai Baladev, I'm a Hare Krishna devotee, and we have a very nice restaurant. I'm going there now. Would you like to come with me? Vegetarian restaurant called Govinda's. That was his introduction. So we went to the restaurant with Jai Baladev. And he met some nice devotees. And the devotees were all enthusiastic. Prabhupada is coming, Prabhupada is coming, Prabhupada is coming. Who is Prabhupada? Oh, you know, they found out, he found out who is Prabhupada. So he decided, okay, I'll divide this energy here. I'll help them prepare for receiving Prabhupada. So for 3 days, morning till night, and morning till night, and morning till night, having never met the devotees before, he was just helping to prepare for Prabhupada's arrival. And Prabhupada came, and he met Prabhupada for the first time, you know, 4 days later, after meeting Jai Baladev. And then Prabhupada stayed for some less than a week. And towards the end of the less than a week, so he'd been a Hare Krishna devotee for 10 days. Prabhupada said, I would like to open a center in Vienna. Would you like to go to Vienna and help me start a center in Vienna? 10 days. So I said, sure. He was moved by Prabhupada's association. He didn't have any money, didn't have any place to stay, didn't know anybody. So what did he do? It was winter time, and he stayed in the boiler rooms of big apartment buildings. You know, this graduate from Yale University Law School, with a scholarship at the Sorbonne, going to live in the basement of apartment buildings, where it's illegal and it's dangerous, but that it was warm. And then from there, he could meet other people. Go out during the day and, you know, get something for eating and offer to Krishna and do his preaching. Took some books with him, and so they started a temple in Vienna. And then from there he went to Geneva, and then from Geneva he went to another big city in Switzerland, Zurich. And he became the temple president of Zurich, one of the biggest book distribution temples in the world for years under his direction. Just being inspired by Prabhupada to do Mission Impossible because Prabhupada wanted it. That was enough. Prabhupada wanted it. And because of the spiritual potency of Prabhupada wanting it just, you know, propelled him into into action. Association with such a powerful pure devotee accomplished wonderful things, as Prabhupada's dedication to Bhagavata produced wonderful things. And the same principle applies today. If we are moved by the internal potency, it's not on our own worldly skill and prowess that things happen. It's spiritual potency that things happen. That's how things happen in the Hare Krishna movement, by the internal potency. By worldly things happen by the machine of the material nature. Material nature is producing things. And the devotional service realm, that the internal potency is producing things. And the devotee understands that. So Arjunacharya, after he paid obeisances to his wife and said, "You're the most fortunate person. You've seen Krishna and Balaram. You're worshipable. I'm offering you my obeisances." And then he, for the next weeks, he was just walking around Puri like a crazy man, saying, Vaham yaham. People thought he'd gone mad. And he was appreciating, it's true, Krishna personally intervenes in the life of the devotee and personally takes care of whatever it is. You need something for your devotional service? Krishna will see that you have that something in your devotional service. And if Krishna doesn't provide that something, then that's okay. Devotional service isn't created by things or blocked by things. It's coming from the internal potency. The flow of devotional service is not dependent on material circumstances. It's created by or stopped by material circumstances. And the arrangement of necessities comes directly from Krishna. I've spoken enough, I think. There's a number of other verses in Bhagavad Gita that are really, really nice. And maybe another time when I visit, will remind me, and I'll speak on another one, or two or three. Where Krishna is disclosing what he feels towards his devotee. I'll give a hint. The end of chapter 12, there's a whole bunch of verses about what Krishna feels towards his devotee. And in the Chaturshloki verses, chapter 10, texts 10 and 11. Chapter 10, texts 10 and 11. Krishna describes what he feels towards his devotee, what he does towards his devotee. Very, very kind. It's like the most confidential of the most confidential knowledge. It's very sublime. Krishna's feelings towards his devotees. They're very nice verses. Any discussion? Thank you for being here, Richard. At least I know I'm going to question each class.
I was just thinking that we may not be on that level of exclusive devotion, so how does Krishna reciprocate?
Proportionately. Yayasamam prapajyantya. Kamsadaiva bhajyamiha. As they surrender to me, I reciprocate. We want Krishna 10%, he gives himself 10%. We want Krishna 50%, he gives himself 50%. We want Krishna 90%. He gives us 90%. And not only that, we're unsteady. You know, one moment it's 5%, another moment it's 25%, and then it's back to 5%. And, you know, Krishna reciprocates accordingly. Thank you. chanted in the Bhagavad, that proportionate to one's surrender, submission to Krishna, he's there. He doesn't interfere with our free will, but when we submit to him, he's there. Anything else? Okay. Sure.
I was thinking that Krishna says he reciprocates even this way, he will supply, he will produce good. And then he says, when I'm especially merciful to someone, I take away. So how, you know, giving one the bhakti and then for another person, he's taking away. So what determines, you know, he gives this type of mercy to one and a different type of mercy to another?
When it comes to the internal potency, it's just varieties of mercy. It may look by external inspection, he's being especially disposed toward this one and less disposed toward that one. It looks that way from our material inspection, but it's just varieties of loving exchange. There's intensities of love, of variety. Love and separation, love and kneading, love and mixing. Varieties. That's all. It's varieties of loving exchange. Does that address your question? You still got that question mark look on your forehead over there. You want to pursue it? Okay. Anything else? Yeah.
All right. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 4, text 30.
Which canto? Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita?
Bhagavatam.
Canto?
Yes. Canto 4. Chapter 30, text 19.
Chapter 30, text 19.
Yeah. Prabhupada explained like this. He said, coming back to Prabhupada, if a devotee is not mature, the Supreme Lord will take away all his opulence. This principle is stated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My first mercy showed to my devotee is to take away all his material opulence. Material opulence detrimental to devotional service, is taken away by the Supreme Lord. Whereas a person who is mature in devotional service is given all material facilities. A mature devotee, the Lord takes away, and an immature, he gives.
No, the other way around. Read it again. Not out loud, read it to yourself again. The immature Krishna takes, the mature Krishna gives. Because they can handle it. The immature can't handle it, so he takes. Is that right? Anyone else? Okay, thank you very much.